Shalom, welcome to Tanakh Study. This is Alex Israel from Alon Shvut. And this week we read about the revolution, the rebellion, challenge, the leadership challenge of Korach, Datan, V'Aviram, and the 250 men as they stand up against Moshe and Aharon and challenge their leadership. And this is a very, very severe rebellion in the Midbar, and I want to examine this a little bit because it's difficult to know what exactly they're complaining about. What do I mean? When we read the opening verse, we hear about Vayikach Korach ben Yitzhar ben Gahat ben Levi, and we might ask ourselves, why do we need Korach's family tree? We're going to come back to that. V'Datan v'Aviram ben Eliav, we hear about Datan and Aviram, who are from the tribe of Reuven. They join with On ben Pelet. And then we hear about 250 Nesi'i Eidah, princes of the congregation, Kriyei Mo'ed, Anshei Shem, men of great fame, men of great repute, Kriyei Mo'ed, men who are summoned for special times. There seems to be this interesting conglomeration, this coalition of different groups, Korach, who himself is a Levi, Datan and Aviram from Reuven, another 250 people. And later on, we hear about the different groups. If you look, you'll see that on the one hand, Moshe Rabbeinu talks to one of the groups, who he's told to bring their fire pans and bring incense, and he says the following: Hama'at mikem, ki hivdil Elohei Yisrael etchem mi'adat Yisrael la'akriv etchem eilav. Is it not enough for you that God has separated you out from the congregation of Israel so that you can serve la'avodet avodat mishkan, you can serve in the mishkan, to stand before the community, to serve them, la'amod lifnei ha'idah l'sharptam, v'yakrev etcha v'kol achecha b'nei Levi etcha v'ikashtem gam kuhuna, and you want even priesthood? And he says, V'aron mahu ki talinu alav. Why are you complaining against Aharon? One group here seems to be a group of Levi'im who are unhappy with their role as Levi'im, and they want to actually be the high priest. They want to be priests. For them, the test is going to be to bring the ketoret, to bring the incense, to stand there with fire pans, and let God decide who is the leader. Let God decide whether it should be just the priests or also the Levites should be allowed to serve in the temple. Not surprisingly, this takes place at Petach Ohel Moed, at the entrance to the tent of meeting. And this is a sense of discomfort with Aharon, with the priesthood. However, there's another group, and that group is led by Datan and Aviram, because Moshe, very interestingly, tries to create peace. Moshe calls Datan and Aviram and summons them and says, let's have a conversation. It's interesting that Rashi there on that verse says, Mikan she'ein machzikim b'machloket. You don't hold on to a fight, you don't hold on to a controversy. Moshe says, you know, if they won't come to me, I'll come to them. And he summons them, but they say, Lo na'aleh. By the way, notice the vertical language here. We won't come up to you. We won't be summoned by you. Hama'at, isn't it enough? Ki helitanu meret zavach chalav u'dvash. You took us out of a land of milk and honey to kill us in the midbar, lahamitenu by midbar, ki tistarer leinu gam istarer. And you still want to be the leader? You haven't yet brought us. You haven't brought us to a land flowing with milk and honey. You took us out of Egypt, which was a land of milk and honey, but you haven't brought us into the land of milk and honey. And you haven't given us our fields and our vineyards. We will not come to you. Interestingly, Datan and Aviram are not Levi'im. and they're not trying to be Kohanim, and therefore the test for them has got nothing to do with the Ketoret, it doesn't have to do with the fire pans, and it doesn't take place at the scene of the Ohel Moed. It takes place in another place, interestingly. It's a place called Mishkan Korach Datan V'Aviram, the headquarters of Korach Datan V'Aviram, and I think there is a symmetry here between Ohel Moed and Mishkan. And interestingly, when Moshe comes to meet them, they stand out, it says, they come out, Yatsu Nitzavim, they stand up, they emerge standing tall. The person they're angry with is Moshe. What they're claiming is, you brought us out of a land flowing with milk and honey, in other words, you brought us out of civilization. You took us to the wilderness, but now we're going to die in this wilderness. And you haven't brought us into the land of Israel, you haven't taken us to civilization. Here the complaint seems to be that Moshe has failed in his mission to actually take the Israelites to the promised land. Of course, they're twisting the facts. They're the ones who are guilty. But I guess they're saying that Moshe, as the commander-in-chief, as the prime minister himself, the head honcho, the buck stops with him, and therefore he bears the ministerial responsibility. And they refuse to accept his authority. Moshe has no one to turn other than to God. And he throws the test to God and said, you know, if I'm really if they're the ones who are chosen, then fine. But if I'm the authoritative leader, then let the earth swallow them up. And interestingly enough, the notion of the earth swallowing people up reminds us of last week's parasha Shelach Lecha, where they call Eretz Yisrael Eretz Ochelet Yoshveha. And now the people who say Lo Na'aleh, we won't ascend, we won't be summoned by you, Moshe, go down. Right? They go down into the mouth of the earth, right? And it says Vayerdu Heim V'chol Asher Lahem Chaim She'olah, they go down to their death. We see here at least two groups, but there are other groups too. In one of the scenes, Moshe says, "Al tifen el milchatam lo chamor echad mehem nasati v'lo hariot et echad mehem." I never took anyone's donkey. I haven't been bad to anyone. Indicative that some people are accusing Moshe of putting some money into his own pockets, of taking fringe benefits, and Moshe has to defend himself and proclaim his innocence and say, "I have my integrity. I haven't taken any inappropriate gifts." So there seem to be a huge number of groups here. And this relates to what was the catalyst? What was the trigger to start the Korach rebellion? And here we see a fabulous discussion between the Ibn Ezra and the Ramban. The Ibn Ezra opens his commentary by saying that what really caused the Korach rebellion more than anything else was the switching of the Bechorim with the Levim. He says, "Zeh ha-davar haya b'midbar Sinai ka'asher nitchalfu ha-Bechorim v'nivdalu ha-Levim." If we recall, in the first opening chapters of Bimidbar, we read that the Levim are appointed to high office, the Levim and the Kohanim. But who were the priests before this point? And there is a tradition that the priests were indeed the Bechorim. And says the Ibn Ezra, when they removed the Bechorim from their special religious service and appointed the Levim, this social engineering created a huge amount of upset, a huge amount of unrest. The Bechorim felt that they had been pushed aside, cast away. And they were disgruntled. Even the Levim. The Levim were now put into a situation where they have to guard the Mishkan, they have to carry the Mishkan. But then they see that a particular group, the sons of Aaron, become the priests. And they say, well, why can't we be priests too? A third factor would be this. Who is in charge of the Levim? And the answer is, his name is Eltzafan ben Uziel. Well, There's something very interesting goes on here. In the family of Kehat, which is the leading family of Levi, there are four brothers, Amram, Yitzhar, Chevron, and Uziel. Well, out of Amram's family, Moshe and Aaron become the leaders. Who's next? The next brother, Yitzhar. And who's the firstborn of Yitzhar? None other than Korach. Vayikach Korach ben Yitzhar ben Kehat ben Levi. But Korach is passed over, and the leadership is given to... The leadership of the Levites is given to Elzaphan ben Uziel. And therefore Korach feels that he has personally been gypped. He has been passed over. So says the Ibn Ezra. And therefore we have disgruntled Levim. We have groups of Bechorim who feel that they should have had a role in the religious leadership of the nation. And maybe they too should be allowed to bring the Ketoret. And he says one of the issues is Ki kol ha'eda kulam kadoshim, pasuk gimel. All the people are holy. V'zeh remez, says the Ibn Ezra, la b'chorim, shehim kadoshim. This refers to the b'chorim, who are holy. Ki ken katuv, kadesh li kol b'chor. V'heim hayu ha'nekohanim anigishim al Hashem. I have to say that there is some validity and veracity to their argument, because think about it. If the Bechorim are the religious, the people who offer all the sacrifices and the religious functionaries, then every family has an uncle or a grandfather or a cousin who serves in the temple. Every part of the nation seems to be enfranchised and seems to be empowered. Every person goes to bring their sacrifices, and it's a member of their family, a member of their kin, who bring the sacrificial service. However, once you take just the Levites, you are disenfranchising everybody. You are now pushing everybody else aside and saying there is a holy caste. In fact, look at the end of the parasha, chapter 18. It's all about the matanot kuhuna. It's all about the gifts to the priesthood and the gifts to the Levites, the 24 matnot kuhuna. And one can well turn around as Korach did and said, we're all holy. Why does it need to be that some people are made into priests and other Levites and others are stripped of their religious functions? It's not fair. That's the Ibn Ezra. However, the Ramban disagrees with this fundamentally. And the Ramban says that this wouldn't make sense because the Levim were separated out much earlier on, months earlier. If we look at the story, it takes place in Bamidbar, Nasar, and Bahalotcha. But this is much later. And therefore the Ramban claims that the catalyst for the episode of the Korach rebellion was in fact the episode of the spies. He says until the spy episode, Moshe was untouchable. When he brought them out of Egypt, he was the great miracle maker. Even after the Ten Commandments, he was the instrument of revelation. Even after the Egel HaZahav, Moshe was the one who prayed for them and eked out an arrangement whereby they would be forgiven. Korach was resentful of Moshe's prime position. He was resentful of Aaron's position. But what could he do? Even at the time that the Mishkan was set up, Moshe and Aaron were at the top of their game. They were popular. They were flying high in the opinion polls. But then, Moshe is the one who sends the spies. And it sounds like Moshe has mismanaged the whole situation and the nation find themselves stuck in the wilderness for 40 years. At this point, Moshe's popularity plummets. His popularity rating seems to be very, very low, and people are angry with Moshe. And it's at this point, Korach the opportunist brings together all the coalitions that we have spoken about. The Levites who want to be priests, people who suspect or have personal gripes with Moshe. Other people who think that Moshe mismanaged the Meraglim, and he says, this is my chance. And this is Vayikach Korach. He takes all of the different groups. He finds a moment at which Moshe is really low, and where the national morale is really frustrated because they realize they are not going to make it to Eretz Yisrael. And he uses a slogan, Ki kol ha'eda kulam kudoshim. We're all holy, we don't need leaders. But of course this is just a facade. It rings very empty because we all know that Korach intends to be the leader himself. And so we have a lovely debate here. What we've seen today is a mosaic of different claims against Moshe. And this is quite the revolt, because when you have so many claims, you realize that here we have lots of different factions. The famous Nachama Leibowitz once said, quoted the famous Mishnah in Pirkei Avot, where it says that there is such a thing as machloket l'shem shamayim, that's Hillel and Shammai, but a machloket which is not l'shem shamayim, an argument which is not for the sake of heaven, is machloket Korach va'adato. It is the argument of Korach and his group. And she said it doesn't say Korach and Moshe. It says Korach and his group, because within Korach's group there were so many different agendas. They weren't really unified except for one thing. And that one thing was, let's get rid of Moshe. Let's get rid of Moshe. That's what they were hell-bent on. But the minute they would have got rid of Moshe, their coalition would have broken apart. It would have crumbled because everybody had a different intent. And this shows the complexity of this situation. But maybe through seeing this complexity, we understand what is really going on. And I think it's fascinating to hear the different voices. On the one hand, the Ibn Ezra. This happens because of the social engineering that took place when the Bechorim were ejected from their role as sacrificial agents, and instead they were replaced with the Leviim and the Kohanim. Whereas the Ramban insists that the most significant cause of all of this was the Meraglim and the terrible decree that they were going to remain in the wilderness, and most of these people were never going to see the promised land. And in that situation, the people were so frustrated and upset that this allowed Korach, the ultimate opportunist, to stake his claim and challenge the leadership. Thank you. Have a great week, and we'll meet again next week.